Hey there, and welcome to Leading Presales, the show for solution engineering leaders who want to build teams that drive revenue, and not just demos. My name is Tim, and I'm the co-founder of SE Rockstars, and together with Jan, we've coached over 350 solution engineers and their leaders across several dozens of companies. Every conversation you hear on this show is based on real coaching situations, real challenges, real problems that SE leaders like you are dealing with right now. None of this is made up. We use AI to bring these stories to life through our two hosts, Nate and Ava, but the insights come straight from the trenches. Each episode gives you one actionable takeaway you can apply immediately, whether you're already leading a team or working your way into that role. All right, let's get into it.
I sat in on a team meeting last quarter. One of my SE managers, sharp guy, runs a team of nine in the Nordics. He just walked them through the new company strategy, very polished. At the end, an SE put her hand up and asked, quite politely, "So what changes for me on Monday?"
Ooh, and?
He didn't have an answer. Not because he's bad at his job, because nobody had given him one. He'd cascaded the slides. He hadn't translated them.
That question is the whole job in one sentence. I've had the same moment with 12 people in a room and no slides to hide behind. Welcome to Leading Presales. I'm Ava.
And I'm Nate. One idea, 5 minutes. This week, three episodes on what first-line SE leaders owe their team. We start with the one nobody else will do for you, translating the company strategy before your team has to ask why.
So, make the case. Why the first-line leader? Strategy comes from the top. Shouldn't the top explain it?
They'll announce it. That's different. The first-line leader is the only layer with nothing between them and the team. No buffer. Everything above gets abstracted. By the time it reaches an SE, it's accelerate value realization in the mid-market. What does that mean for a Tuesday demo?
Nothing. It means nothing on a Tuesday.
Right. I've watched this from both sides. In one business unit earlier in my career, the hierarchy was so long that decisions were made four levels away from the people executing them. Nobody was hiding anything. It just evaporated on the way down.
Okay, my pushback. Sometimes the strategy is mush. I've read decks where the top-down message doesn't survive contact with reality. Translate it faithfully, and I'm turning mush into more mush.
Fair. And that's the test. If you can't write down in two sentences what the company wants and what it means for your team, you don't have clarity yet. And you shouldn't stand in front of the team pretending you do.
So step one is you, alone, with a blank page.
Step one is you, alone, feeling slightly stupid. Then you go get help. Most companies produce manager-level material for exactly this, the deck behind the deck. Use it. I've told my managers to stop apologizing for it. It exists so you can break the message down.
What does the session look like? I can already feel my team's eyes glazing over if I open with a strategy slide.
3 hours. Start of the fiscal year, or the end of the previous one. And it's a discussion, not a broadcast. You bring the top-down view, 15 minutes, then spend the rest harvesting what they think.
3 hours feels long for 12 people. My instinct is 90 minutes, sharp.
Then you'll get the polite version. The honest stuff comes out in hour two, after somebody has said something slightly risky and survived it.
That's annoyingly true. My best team conversations are all the ones I nearly cut short.
And the discussion is an early warning system. If someone says, "I think this direction is terrible," out loud, in front of eight colleagues, you now know something you'd otherwise find out in April when they resign.
Or worse, from the pipeline. Okay, I'm sold on the room. What would you add that I'm probably not doing?
After the translation, ask them, "What do you want to be measured on this year?" Not, "Here are your metrics." What do you want to be measured on?
Wait, you? The process guy? You're telling me to let the team pick the scoreboard?
I resisted this for years. My instinct under pressure is always tighter reporting. But one of my SE directors ran it that way with three teams, and the goals they picked were harder than what we'd have handed them. Self-defined goals create identification. Imposed goals create compliance. Compliance is expensive.
That tracks with mine. Going from 5 to 12, I let the team define what good discovery meant instead of writing it myself. Took twice as long, and they've defended it ever since. Nobody defends a metric you gave them.
That's the move. Before the year starts, two sentences on paper. What the company wants. What it means for your team. Then 3 hours with the team to pressure test it. And one question at the end. What do you want to be measured on?
And the caveat. Don't ask if you can't live with the answer. If finance has already locked half your targets, say so up front. Ask what they want to be measured on beyond that. Fake choice is worse than no choice.
Agreed. Be honest about the box, then let them design inside it. I'm Nate.
And I'm Ava. See you next episode.
Thanks for listening to Leading Presales. If you've got a question, a topic you'd like us to cover, or you just want to connect, reach out to me at tim@serockstars.com. And if what you heard today hit home and you want to talk about how to develop your SE team, feel free to book a discovery call at serockstars.com. No strings attached. The link is, of course, also in the show notes. Until next time, and keep leading from the front.